Thanks for listening to this podcast of Faith Radio Mornings from Faith Radio.
Today is the day you have made. I will rejoice and be glad in it. Today is the day you have made. I will rejoice and be glad in it. And I won't worry about tomorrow. I'm trusting.
Can't do anything about tomorrow. Yesterday's gone. Today is the day. Welcome. I'm glad to have you tuned in to Faith Radio Mornings. I'm Neil Stavem, sitting in for Peter Kapsner, who's off this week, taking some family vacation. Hope you're having a great day. It's Wednesday, October 17. There's 75 days left in this year of 2018. It was back in the state in 1989. A major earthquake hit the San Francisco Bay Area. Remember that? During the World Series game between the Oakland Athletics and the San Francisco Giants. The quake measured 6.9 on the Richter scale, caused an estimated 270 deaths, 3,000 injuries, more than $3 billion in damage. 1989, the San Francisco Bay Area earthquake. First Cadillac completed in Detroit on this date, 1902. So if you're driving a Caddy today, you can celebrate that heritage. And as of today, marijuana is legal in Canada. Coming up here in the second half of this hour, we're going to talk about the unexpected trend of Canadian Christianity reviving. Great news out of Canada in terms of the church. And looking forward to getting an update on that. We'll talk with a pastor from Toronto, and there's several church plants there and wide growth in the church, a lot of it through immigration. We'll find out more about that coming up in the second half hour. In the first half hour, Robert Dickey joins us. Robert has written several books, things like The Leap, Launching Your Full-Time Career into a Part-Time Economy, and Love Your Work, Practical Ways You Can Pivot to Your Best Career. And he's just pivoted to a new career. We're going to find out a little bit about that. Also talk about God of the Second Shift, and how we can find a joy and meaning in our work, even if it isn't maybe the work that we really want to do. So we'll get to all that in a few minutes. Today is, on this date, 1979, Mother Teresa was awarded the Nobel Peace Prize. And one of her quotes went like this: "Never worry about numbers. Help one person at a time. And always start with the person nearest you." Thought from Mother Teresa today. And she also said, "I don't do great things. I do small things with great love." All right, we'll talk about how we do the work that we do coming up in just a moment with Robert Dickey. Stay tuned. You're listening to Faith Radio Morning. I'm looking forward to talking to Robert Dickey in the moments ahead. It's 8 past the hour. Faith Radio Morning's underway. I'm Neil Stavem, sitting in for Peter Kapsner. Robert has just taken a new position now as CEO of Bonvera. He stepped down as president of Crown Ministries, served there for a number of years. In fact, has had a number of roles and responsibilities, and he's authored several books, including The Leap and Love Your Work. And we want to talk a little bit about work. Robert's been a guest in the past in Faith Radio, and it's good to have you back, Robert. Good morning.
Good morning. Thank you for having me. It's quite an honor, as usual.
Well, we want to talk about, you know, loving our work. Yesterday we had a conversation. We were talking about, you know, finding work that you're passionate about that's making a difference. There's a recent article in the latest issue of Christianity Today called God of the Second Shift. And, you know, talking about those that are maybe underemployed or not doing the work that maybe is ideal. Can we still find, you know, work that we can be passionate about? And how critical is that?
Well, first of all, I think the article that Jeff Heenan wrote in Christianity Today is absolutely brilliant. He's a good friend of mine. I've actually sat on multiple conference boards with him with the Christian Economic Forum, and we discussed these various topics actually out in Silicon Valley, the birthplace of where a lot of technological advancement is displacing workers in the global workforce. And so my answer to your question, short, it would be absolutely yes. There is a way in which we can find value in our work and value in what we're doing. It's getting very challenging, very difficult for many people within the economy to do that because things are rapidly changing. People are being displaced. We have this new global gig economy or freelancer economy. We have families that are putting together two and three, sometimes four different jobs just to make ends meet. So we're entering into a global economy that is much different from what our grandparents and parents grew up in. It makes it more challenging, but there's also a whole host of opportunities. So we always want to make sure that we maintain hope and a proper perspective as we navigate these challenging waters.
Well, now, unemployment, of course, has dropped significantly, maybe record lows. Does that mean that everybody who wants a job has a job, and does it make it harder to maybe to find a job in this kind of situation?
Well, the unemployment numbers that come out, I mean, you can cut that so many different ways. And, of course, we know that politicians will, depending on what type of storyline that they want to, share in the media, you can cut those numbers in various ways. The reality is with the very low unemployment numbers that we have right now, it's a great sign. It means our economy is moving in the right direction. We're at all-time record lows. The reality is, though, when you take a look and you peel back the layer of the onion, you will still see a vast portion of our economy that is not fully employed. So maybe somebody has a job, but it's not a full-time job that's allowing them to pay all the bills for their family. So they're having to put two or three of those jobs together to make ends meet, as I mentioned earlier, in this gig economy or freelancer economy. We also have a substantial portion of the American population that have just quit. They've given up. They're not even trying to find work because they can't find work in which they're qualified or that will pay the bills. And so they've just kind of dropped out. And so those people aren't counted into those registers. So those are things that we need to be mindful of as we take a look at these really historic record low unemployment numbers.
What if I don't really feel like I'm an entrepreneur? Because I know you talk about, launching your full-time career in a part-time economy. But, doesn't it take someone special to have some sort of entrepreneurial skills to actually find additional revenue streams?
Well, that's one of the myths that I really try to debunk in both of my books. And one of the things that I'm passionate about in the work that I'm doing right now with Bonvera and teaching and training entrepreneurs, not only here in the United States, but in Latin America and with Crown Financial Ministries in Africa. What we all need to have in this new global economy is an entrepreneurial mindset. And really what that starts off with is it starts off with us having the initiative to be looking for opportunity, to be constantly getting new information, being a lifelong learner, acquiring new skills, acquiring new knowledge, and looking for ways in which that we can grow. So if we're going to be an employee and we're going to be employed by a company, how do I walk into that job each and every day and say, look, how can I do, number one, have the initiative to do my best in everything that I do, but how can I acquire new skills on the job and maybe in OJT training and so forth to become a better employee, to be able to help my company have more success? When we have that type of mindset, all sorts of opportunity will start to naturally come our direction. And that's really the only way in which I'm seeing people have success in this new economy, because the world is changing so rapidly. Companies will be like, okay, well, Johnny or Susie, they don't have the requisite skills that we need. We're going to have to go hire somebody else. So we just constantly need to be adding to our toolkit. And that's part of that entrepreneurial mindset. You don't have to be a special person. You don't have to have an MBA from a top school to have that. A lot of that is just grit. It's just the stuff that our mom and dads taught us when we were younger. And we just have to figure out a new way to leverage that as mid-career professionals and adults.
Well, you kind of had to go through that a few times in your life, right? I mean, growing up and kind of moving from several jobs along the way, and not always the easy times.
You're absolutely right. I mean, I've gone through multiple career pivots. I mean, from college into the military, from military into the private sector into two various entrepreneurial pursuits into global ministry, now back into a full-time role as the CEO of a company. I've made many pivots and career changes throughout my career. I'm only 44, right? So I'm still, fairly young, and I look how many changes that I've made in that's the time span. It's not always easy. Sometimes those can be very difficult. They can be very challenging and stressful for a family. When I made one of my biggest career moves, I was married with four children and took the leap. I mean, that's the background of the first book that I wrote. So one of the things that I always encourage people, I mean, in that book, The Leap, I really outline, here's what I did. Here's how I prepared. Here are the steps that I took to make that career pivot, because I wanted to be able to pay it forward and help somebody else. One of the things that I always recommend is you don't make these decisions spur of the moment. These are thoughtful, intentional decisions where I prayed about it. I sought counsel from many, many people. I had mentors in my life that were helping me. And that's another aspect that I would encourage folks that are listening this morning. If you don't have a mentor, if you don't have people around you who are providing counsel, it's one of the most important things that you can do in this new economy. Have people that are wiser than you, right? The Bible says that we should seek counsel, right? We know that iron sharpens iron. So who are those people that are in our lives that are helping us make these very important decisions that not only impact us, but our children and ultimately in our grandchildren?
Robert Dickey is with us. He is CEO of Bonvera, past president of Crown Ministries, and he's authored several books, including The Leap and Love Your Work. And by the way, if you have a specific question or a comment, you can call or text us with that at 877-933-2484, 877-933-2484. You can text or call with your question. We'd love to have you join the conversation. We'll take a quick break and come back and talk more about Robert's work as they develop some entrepreneurial partnerships in Africa with Crown Financial Ministries. Want to hear more about that in just a moment. 19 past the hour on Faith Radio Mornings. Robert Dickey III is with us. He's past president of Crown Financial Ministries, author of several books. He's just recently taken over as CEO of Bonvera, and this past weekend launched a global partnership with Crown Ministries in Africa. Tell us, Robert, a little bit more about that and what are you hoping to see happen?
Well, it's something that we're very, very proud of. Chuck and I have been working hard on this for a number of different years, and Chuck was really the brainchild. I'm referring to Chuck Bentley, the CEO of Crown Financial Ministries. Chuck spent a lot of time, a majority of his career in Africa, working with the world's poor. I believe that he's cracked the code with others on how to help teach and train and help communities and poor African communities come out of the cycle of poverty into self-sustainability with conservation agriculture. He's working with a group there called Foundations for Farming. This has been a project that we were working on during my 7.5 years as president of Crown. And what we realized is that we needed to have a pathway for sustainability. We're teaching and training entrepreneurs all over the continent. The programs are absolutely game-changing for local communities and for families. And so one of the roles, I was sitting down with the board over the last year and a half, and we're like, what are the various ways in which we could scale this? We could take this global. And as we thought about it, we wanted to bring some of the product that was being produced by the African farmers and sell it here within the United States and create a sustainable cycle. And so that's actually what I've done with in my role as I've stepped out and I've taken on the role of CEO of Bonvera. We've launched this global partnership with Crown, and I was hungry. We're going to be purchasing, my company is going to be purchasing a lot of the raw materials, and we'll be making world-class products here within the U.S. and selling that within our various communities. And the proceeds of those sales are going back to fund the education, the teaching, the training, the stewardship schools that Crown has throughout Sub-Saharan Africa, and to take these teachings and trainings, not just within Africa, but all over the world. So we're very, very proud of it. We also launched a partnership with Thrive Coffee. They're the ones that provide coffee for Chick-fil-A, and they have a similar type program in Latin America for the coffee farmers. So we're very proud of these programs that we've launched this last weekend, and we want to be able to see entrepreneurs with the proper teaching and training that are able to go in and be game changers within the communities. I mean, the article we've been talking about this morning, the one that Jeff wrote, the cover story, God of the Second Shift. Well, I think one of the things that needs to happen not only here but around the world, is that business owners and entrepreneurs need to have a different mindset about the businesses that God has entrusted them to run. And they need to understand that it's not about maximizing profits for shareholders, but that business owners have an equal responsibility, just as important as ministers, in being able to help people, to be able to encourage people, to be able to be on that front lines of meeting families' needs. And I think that's the revolution that we're starting to see take place globally. And the Crown Financial Ministries is at the forefront of it. Myself at Bonvera, I'm extremely proud and honored to be a part of the journey and to play my role. So we're very excited.
By the way, the article we referenced from Christianity Today is called God of the Second Shift. It's from the October CT magazine. I'd recommend it to you. And normally on Wednesday after, mornings about this time, we're talking with the business Bible and Business founder Bill English, and we're talking about those very things, about what does it mean to operate your business in a way that's about advancing God's kingdom purposes. So, Robert, glad to have you in, filling in for Bill in such a great way. Just a couple minutes left. Maybe a word for those that are in a, you know, under-employed situation. They're trying to get out of their cycle of poverty, too, maybe not at the level of someone in Africa or Southeast Asia. But that we want to make a difference. We want to see more outcome, I guess, productivity from our work, and maybe not in a job that we love. What kinds of things, what steps, takeaways would you give us for those today?
Well, the word of encouragement I would give folks that are listening to this radio program this morning is, whether you're in Latin America or Africa, or whether you're in the United States, whether in a rural area or a metropolitan area, the pain and the discomfort, the despair that comes from being either unemployed or underemployed, or being in a work environment that's less than ideal, it's the same, regardless of where you're at globally. And the encouragement I want to give you is, there is hope. And I always, when I start to talk and teach on these particular topics, I always go back to some of the forefathers in the Old Testament, right? I mean, the Lord, Jesus, does not waste any time. And he always gives encouragement. Take a look at his genealogy. Take a look at the stories of Moses. Take a look at the story of Joseph. These are men, great men of Scripture, who were in very adverse conditions. But during those times of adversity, they were being molded and refined, and they were gathering skills. They were being developed into the leaders that they needed to be for the future that God had prepared for them. So if you, someone on this radio program, is listening this morning, and you're in one of those situations, be encouraged. The greatest men of Scripture, the greatest women of Scripture, all went through adversity. There is hope, and God has a brighter future for you. Now, here's a couple of quick tips that I would give you. Number one, no matter what you're doing, understand that your job, your work, it is important, and you can give glory and honor to God in all that you do. Whether you're cleaning toilets at a warehouse, whether you're out in the field, it doesn't matter what you're doing. Every job has value and significance and can be glorifying and honoring to God. Give it 100% your best. Number two, look for a mentor. When you're in those situations, those kind of like starter jobs, I'll call them, or early jobs in our career, no matter where you're at when you're in your career, always look for a mentor. Look for someone who you can ask help from and say, look, I want more out of life. I'm looking for the next opportunity. Can you help me? This is where you get wise counsel. My dad says, look for men who have whiskers, you know, gray whiskers on their face, right? It's people who have been through the challenges of life. So get a mentor. Number three, this is very, very important, Neil. I always encourage people, no matter where you're at, look for more education, even if it's just reading a book or reading a periodical or newspaper, you know, asking your company if you've got extra things that you can do to get more educated. Getting more educated today in today's economy is extremely important. And that doesn't mean you have to go and get a four-year degree at college or go to a community college. The best education I've received in my career is just going to my local library and picking off books, or going to the bookstore and just reading great books and trying to become a better husband, father, employee, worker. So education is extremely important. But if you do all three of those things, I believe God's going to bless you, and your greatest opportunities are going to be ahead of you. So work hard, get a mentor, get people around you, give you great advice, and always be looking for more education.
Good words today from Robert Dickey III. He's now CEO of Bonfera, past president of Crown Ministries, author of several books, including The Leap and Love Your Work. I always love chatting with you. Robert, thanks for coming back on today.
It's always an honor. Thank you so much.
27 past the hour. You're listening to Faith Radio Mornings. The Breakpoint is coming up in a minute. You've heard the phrase, the kids will be okay. Well, not the case. You're going to listen to rather a sobering conversation once again with John Stonestreet at Breakpoint. That comes up in a minute. 32 past the hour. Speaking of searching, still searching for 13-year-old Jamie Kloss. The national attention being focused on Barron, Wisconsin, as after her parents were found dead, a vigil held last night in the Cameron to remember her parents were killed after a shooting Monday morning to pray for the return of their daughter, Jamie, who's been missing ever since. So one of the stories in the news that is catching our attention. We're going to head north of the border coming up in a few minutes and talk about the growth of the church in Canada, in Toronto particularly. We'll get an update on that. It'll be amazing to see what God is doing as he continues to advance his kingdom purposes. We'll hear the story from Robbie Simons from Oak Hill Harvest Bible Chapel. That's all coming up in about 10 minutes. That quick reminder, all this month, Faith Radio is giving away copies of the CSB Reference Bible. The Christian Standard Bible translation is fairly new, but it's close to the original text, but easy to read, and we're giving away a copy each week, and you can sign up, enter to win at myfaithradio.com. That's myfaithradio.com. There's been a revival of Bible teaching in Canada. The church is growing somewhat unexpectedly from the pollsters, and we'll find out about that in just a couple of minutes. Speaking of going to the polls, the voting polls are open for early voting. I took care of that yesterday, but Tommy Binion was our guest yesterday from the Daily Signal. And he talks about voting on election day. It's not only a right, but it's a responsibility.
It can't be overstated. Your vote is your solemn responsibility. It is an expression of patriotism. There's a certain romanticism about it. Going to the elementary school or the middle school early in the morning or on the way home from work or at your lunch break, standing in line, getting your ballot, getting that sticker. There is a certain amount of togetherness and unity and patriotism that comes along with that. I always look forward to doing that. I go vote early in the morning, sometime in the 6 o'clock hour at the elementary school behind my house, and I just love doing it. I bet you there's a lot of folks listening that have the same feeling. That's why so many of us still vote on election day, is there is that real visceral romantic connection to who you cast your ballot for. It lends a responsibility. The fact that we voters take that so seriously, that's why this sort of silliness of politics or the frustration or the antics make us so frustrated and disappointed in our government, is we take it seriously. We do our research. We hope that they keep our promises or the promises they made to us. This is a quintessential part of American politics. It's a time to be celebrating that, and we've got an awful lot of mudslinging going on that brings it down a little bit.
Make your plans now to cast your vote. Thanks to Tommy Binion's good words yesterday. He was on Faith Radio Mornings. You can hear that full conversation by going to the Faith Radio Mornings show page at myfaithradio.com. Coming up in a minute, we'll introduce you to a pastor in Toronto. Robbie Simons from Oakville Harvest Bible Chapel will join us to talk about what God's doing in Canada as the church continues to grow there.
Moms and dads often bear the brunt of anger unleashed by their teen, like a son who's set off by the dumbest things. Sound familiar? Hi, I'm Mark Gregston with Parenting Today's Teens. Anger is often the impulsive emotional response from a kid who's denied what he wants. Well, boys truly want to grow up to be men, but that process is often hampered by parents who aren't ready to hand over the freedom. Moms and dads who nag less and let a young man make choices actually transfer responsibility to their kids. Mom, Dad, he'll never grow up if you keep spoon-feeding his every desire. Let your son, your daughter make their own decisions. Their painful mistakes will teach them lessons they could never learn from a lecture.
Want to hear Mark in person? For a list of upcoming events, go to ParentingTodaysTeens.org. That's parentingtodaysteens.org.
It's 19 before the hour. It's Faith Radio Mornings. And in a time when our neighbors to the north have experienced, some of the same challenges we have with the society, same-sex marriage, legal, just as of today, marijuana legal in Canada. Conservative Church began back in 2003, and it was just one of several signs that the church is showing a rebound in Canada. We'll find out about it today with Robbie Simons, pastor of Oakville Harvest Bible Chapel in just outside Toronto. Robbie, welcome to Faith Radio Mornings.
Thank you so much. It's good to be with you.
Article in the Gospel Coalition, just a little bit about your church, the ministry, some of the multiple campuses that have started there. The church has been declining, well, in many places around the globe, but you're seeing a turnaround going outside Toronto. Tell us the story.
Well, I think the theology is correct, too, when we understand that. I think in proper understanding, the church never shrinks. So Jesus Christ is always building his church, and I take great comfort in that. I love to rest on the sovereignty of God. It's, every life that he saves is a life that will be with him forever. And so sometimes I think as the culture changes, we think sometimes maybe the church is starting to diminish. But in reality, I love the thought, too. God is never stressed out. He's never biting his nails. He's never worried. And he continues to move forward, and he will always have his people. So here in Canada, we planted a church back in 2004, and there was such a hunger for the Word of God. I mean, we honestly say right from the beginning, we really didn't have a clue what we're getting ourselves into, but we did feel called, and we had such a sense. My wife and I, with one other couple, were technically the first two couples to start the church we're part of now, and to move forward just was such a burden. There was a sense of intimidation for sure, and I guess a human sense of fear, but I think the fear of the Lord kind of was overriding that, and we were just amazed to see how many people were sincerely seeking after the Lord and how much God chooses to bless the things. A huge platform for my ministry, or just kind of fundamental convictions, is what are the things that God promises to bless? And it's not complicated. It's supposed to be simple. But focus on the things he guarantees to move within. And they're not new. His word depends on the Holy Spirit. A real fervency in prayer, the exaltation of Christ, obedience, obviously, to his commands, and just if we do what God has commanded us to do, it's guaranteed to be difficult, but it's guaranteed to see God in the center of it. Doesn't always guarantee there's going to be explosive growth in the way that sometimes we want to kind of summarize, but it does guarantee he will be with us and moving, and so we've been so delighted to see that here. Again, we're about a half an hour west of Toronto, and we've been able to plant churches, and we're just praying, God, use us as you would decide in this very critical time for our nation.
As I understand, I mean, I think what reports that Toronto's perhaps one of the most diverse cities in the world, and you have, 45 different languages spoken at your church. So you are in the center of diversity.
Yeah, I mean, what a joy that is, isn't it? Just to have that, and it's true. So we have so many different ethnicities and languages, and I've kind of grown up with that. I grew up with a town over called Mississauga from where we are right now in Oakville, and so it's kind of what I've known since I've been raised. And so to be a true church in this area, you need to be diverse. I say true church, I mean reflecting your community and just really resembling that. And so it's really beautiful. Toronto is the most multicultural city in the world. So literally when you're driving down streets in Toronto, every single person is a different nationality. And so it's quite amazing, and it's a blessing. As we know, this is the future. This is our eternal glory, every tribe, tongue, and nation. So we're thankful for that.
Your preaching, your teaching, it's maybe contemporary style, but it's a solid theology. And I know you said in the article from the Gospel Coalition that, you get people walking out of your sermons every week. That's a little unsettling, perhaps.
Well, I guess it can be. I mean, I just think, when that happens, our ministry then is like Jesus Christ himself. I really have always taken comfort from John chapter 6 when Jesus is teaching hard sayings and many people are walking away, and he turns to his disciples and says, "Do you want to go away as well?" And then Peter, bless his heart, Peter says, "But Lord, where else will we go? You hold the words of eternal life and you are the Holy Son of God." So in that sense, my thing has always been, if the truth offends, I'm okay with that. I never want to be the one who offends. Like, I don't want my style, or I don't want to be the one that creates the offense. But if the truth offends, then I'm totally fine with that, because that is, you know, truth by definition is going to be exclusive, and we're living in a culture where it's not popular to really hold up the gospel and go after it with a fervency, and yet the very same thing that will repel others, we have found, is drawing, like the Holy Spirit moves within that, and people's lives being changed and saved and transformed, and what a thrill that is. And I mean, just so you know too, like, I never wanted to be in ministry. I never really wanted to be a pastor growing up. I just would have laughed if someone suggested that. My wife didn't want to marry a pastor, but God's call came upon our life, and one thing with God, he tends to win. And so our thing was, okay, Lord, if we're going to do this thing called ministry, I have no idea what's ahead of us, but kind of my flea, so to speak, was let's see some lives change for the glory of God. And that's been my burning hunger from where this began and continues to be today. And so just the thrill to see lives. My life was so transformed too. Like, I had a dramatic conversion at age 22. And so I saw, wow, Jesus Christ is real. He literally takes someone who is on the road to death and gives them life and then allows them to see. And then it was such an unbelievable moment that I say, that's why we're here, to see others know the same Christ, to be born again, and then to be used to bear good fruit and good works for his name.
Robbie Simons, pastor of Oakville Harvest Bible Chapel. It's just outside of Toronto. They've been in the middle of some significant growth, the church growing in Canada, maybe changing a trend in terms of Christianity to our neighbors to the north, and we're celebrating that today here on Faith Radio Mornings. We'll have more with Robbie as we draw some lessons and some application coming up in just a minute. Stay tuned. 10 minutes before the hour, got a few minutes left to find out more from Robbie Simons about how God has been working in Oakville Harvest Bible Chapel and in building the church across Canada, maybe a renewed way. A lot of that has to do with the immigration, that you know, people are coming with the faith already there, and so Robbie and the other pastors there have an opportunity to just build on that. I know, Robbie, as you tell your story, you weren't interested in pastoring, and then at one point got connected with Wayne Grudem and the guys like John Piper and Al Mohler and D.A. Carson. I mean, those are pretty good guys to be hanging with. And since, you know, growing in your study, talk a little bit more about maybe what's front page for you in terms of seeing church growing in Canada and how it's spreading.
Well, again, I think if we're faithful to what's been so fundamental to the Lord and to where the Holy Spirit works within, that's really how simple kind of our convictions have been. So we're going for it. I think the single greatest need where we are is really to rest on God's word and to understand the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. So that's been a real strong principle for us in the churches that we have planted. So if you think about the fear of the Lord as the beginning of wisdom, a lack of the fear of the Lord then is the opposite. A lack of the fear of the Lord is really the beginning of foolishness. And if the church loses the fear of God, and what's the fear of God? It's really dependence upon him in prayer. It's, again, it's resting on his word. It's exalting Christ above all other things, regardless of where culture is going and all that. So if we lose the fear of the Lord, I don't like the chances for the church to be very strong. And so for us, there's been a real call back to say we must rest on Christ. We must sit there and see sincere worship of God. And then we have found he fills that and he draws people to himself. Because as I said, though, this will guarantee that the cost will increase, or the difficulty and the opposition will increase as well. I'm tempted every day, and I want you to know this too, like every sermon I write every week, it's so much easier to compromise. It's so much easier to capitulate, even in small ways. And I think that's the decision for where we minister right now. Will the church capitulate to the culture ultimately, just subtle ways but leading to significant ways? Or will they rest on the truth of God's word, knowing that God never changes and his word doesn't change, and he's going to work within those who trust him and have faith in him? And then so that becomes the pivotal decision. I think we're really called in a small way, but we're praying a significant way to see the church encouraged and equipped for the future and what's ahead, to say, again, as Peter said, Lord, where else can we go? Like, what's the alternative besides Christ? Whatever it is, it's going to be second. It's going to be no good. So that we have found, and we've planted now directly from our church, 6 churches really across our nation, and each church has found that God has blessed and thriving and multiplying and making disciples and saving and baptizing. And so we're just so thankful for that. But we also know this, There's no ultimate formula. It's all God's grace, but we just want to be able to be, you know, before Him and stand at the end of the day and say, Lord, we've done our best as You've, you know, given us grace, and may You change lives in the process.
You know, as you said, not a formula, but I know that, you know, your role and really every pastor's role to equip the members of the body to be the hands and feet of Jesus. So say a bit about maybe just your evangelism strategy and some encouragement for all of us, whatever situation we might be in. We might be working at a job where there's some strong differences of opinion in terms of social values. So what's your encouragement to us?
Yeah, well, I really think, again, if we keep things simple, which is obviously a theme of this whole conversation, but, I mean, a person who is genuinely, you know, find themselves abiding in Christ, who's in His Word, not with a legalistic pursuit, but a real hunger, who's a person of prayer, who's desiring to live a life of worship, that person automatically becomes someone the Holy Spirit desires to use to share the message of the gospel. And so whenever we have our newcomers group and we stand in front of a group of people, say, listen, our evangelism strategy, I say, is you, it's me, it's us. The whole thing is that when, like, the Holy Spirit will never say to us, quiet, please don't share Jesus Christ. The Holy Spirit will never tell us to He always wants to exalt Christ. He always wants to use us to share the message. And so when we have been transformed, then we will be automatically, and as we're alive in Christ and growing in Him, we will want to, with neighbors and family and coworkers and strangers, we will want them to have the same message of salvation that has changed us and saved us. And so we really try to encourage that all the way through our church. We don't do it perfectly. We have tons of places we need to grow. We're not a perfect church, all that kind of stuff. I mean, I totally understand that. And yet, within our church, there's been a real contagious environment of people bringing people to church all the time, burdened for those closest to them, for those that they know in their community, and also sharing the gospel with where they are. And we equip them practically for that. Like, we have evangelism training classes. We go through the gospel very clearly within our services as well. It's a place, again, we need to see growth in, but at the same time, it has been encouraging to see that there's a general missionary mindset of wanting to see the gospel share with those that are closest to us within our church. And so it really becomes a culture that we're trying to create, and we have to keep throwing logs on that fire to say, and especially in our day, like where we are, sharing Christ is increasingly, again, coming at a cost because, you know, all the offense that is given and all that kind of stuff. But it's the Holy Spirit that gives us boldness, isn't it? And so, Lord, help us to have You in us, and then we will see You use us in the process.
Yeah, I know you mentioned that at some point you had T-shirts printed up. We don't know what to do or what we're doing, right. But to get 2 Chronicles 20, verse 12 on there, which is probably a good verse for all of us.
Yeah, well, that was really on for us. Like, we really, again, as I said, we started off, we didn't know what was ahead of us. And so as a group of elders, we found ourselves saying we don't know what we're doing. And we're kind of joking about that, but we kind of really meant it. And then in my summer study break, I was in 2 Chronicles, and I got to chapter 20, and I saw the whole story of Jehoshaphat and the enemies coming against God's people. And he looks up to heaven, and he says, we don't know what to do, but our eyes are on You. And I'm like, wow, look at that. It's so biblical. And so we did eventually, as elders later on that year, we got T-shirts that said we don't know what we're doing on it, but again, with the same thing underneath that, saying the verse from 2 Chronicles 20:12, and you know what? That's been a real source of refreshment, even for our people, that you have leaders who are standing up and saying, listen, we don't have this figured out, except for the fact we want to put our eyes on Jesus Christ. And Jesus said Himself in John 15, apart from Me, you can do nothing. And so that's the New Testament, I think, equivalent of that, and it's the fundamental understanding that Christ must do it. It's the Lord who is able, not ourselves. And we have found, too, people are so encouraged by that, because whenever there's a pastor or a group of leaders stand at the front and say, we got it all together, or give off that image, here's the reality. Theologically, we know that person's a fraud, just because no one has it all together. No one has it all figured out. The Bible tells us that. We're all sinful, and we all need the Lord's strength and help, and we can do nothing, again, apart from Christ. So we don't want to pretend that somehow we have all these things figured out, other than the fact we're going to seek the Lord for who He is and what He can give. And that's why right now we're in a month-long prayer series, and just going back, and we're just digging down at the foundation of prayer, because we say around here, without prayer we're dead. And we're having a prayer meeting tonight. We expect several hundred people to show up for our monthly prayer meeting, and that's been one of the kind of furnace things of our church. It just summarizes all that I've kind of been trying to explain during our conversation this morning.
Robbie, so great to get to know you, and blessings to you as you continue to provide ministry leadership there at Oakville Harvest Bible Chapel in Toronto. We're praying with you that God continues to work through you. So thanks so much.
Amen. Thank you.
All right. Well, our time is gone for today's program. Thanks so much for tuning in. If you missed any part of our conversations today, you can always find them. We post them on the Faith Radio Morning Show page at myfaithradio.com. It's myfaithradio.com. I encourage you to check that out, not just for today's conversations, but the past conversations as well. You'll be encouraged. Speaking of encouragement, there's great Bible teaching just ahead, starting with Colin Smith Unlocking the Bible. I want to recommend that to you as a great way to start your morning digging into God's Word. So stay tuned for that, and then join us again tomorrow for Faith Radio Mornings here on the Faith Radio Network.
Again, thanks for listening to this podcast of Faith Radio Mornings. You can hear other podcasts at myfaithradio.com. Plus, remember, we are listener-supported, so your support makes Faith Radio Mornings and the other programs from Faith Radio possible. Make your gift at myfaithradio.com.